Off the Ball Rugby.
Thank you, and thanks for supporting us, and hopefully you keep supporting us and keep saying good things about us.
Good stuff. The likeable Stacey Flood, as always.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock tonight, and coming up this evening we're going to be speaking to Aidan Walsh from 7:30. He of dual fame with Cork, having won a Football All-Ireland in 2010. He is now playing his football at club level in Kerry. He's playing with An Gael Tucht and they won the Intermediate Club Championship at the weekend. They beat David Clifford and Paddy Clifford's Fossa on Sunday. So we'll be speaking to Aidan Walsh about that from 7:30 and how much he misses hurling. He is in the hurley making business as well, so we'll chat about life really with Aidan Walsh. From 8 o'clock then, we're going to get Dominic McGuinness on the line. He wrote this brilliant fly on the wall book with Ricky Hatton in 2006. It's a brilliant photography book as well. So Dominic and a photographer went and spent 4 months with Ricky Hatton. So really looking forward to getting his memories of an amazing life lived by Hatton. And from 8:40, we'll speak to Senne Naupu for a bit of a check-in on the Women's Rugby World Cup. And after 9 o'clock, then the football show, where we'll keep you up to speed on everything that's happening in the second halves of tonight's Champions League fixtures. Also, we're going to speak to Ivan Hurley and Billy Dennehy from Kerry FC, because they had that extraordinary comeback win against Sligo Rovers last Friday in the FAI Cup, and they're playing Shamrock Rovers in the semi-finals now in a couple of weeks' time. So loads coming up. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to drop us a WhatsApp, Cameron Hill has got your News Round. Cameron, how are you doing?
Not too bad, Owen. How are you?
All good. So Michael McCarthy, how are you?
I'm all right, yeah.
The Champions League is back with a bang in certain respects. Juventus versus Borussia Dortmund last night, potentially the game of the competition already. We might discuss that in greater depth in a moment, but around this time yesterday evening, I was looking at the team sheets for Juventus versus Borussia Dortmund. And Dortmund, I guess, is a team we watch a fair amount of, especially when it gets to the knockout stages, if they ever get to the knockout stages of the Champions League. So decent level of familiarity, you know, your Adeyemis, your Sabitzers, and on it goes. And then I saw on the bench was Jobe Bellingham. And I had this instant realisation, this haunting realisation. I have never watched Jobe Bellingham play a game of football before. But yet, I've heard so much about Jobe Bellingham. The name just rolls off the tongue. Maybe a little bit of association with his brother there. But I thought to myself, is Jobe...
a little bit, yeah.
Where have I heard that name before?
Is Jobe Bellingham the most famous footballer I have never actually watched play? That was my question I asked to myself, which I'm now asking to you. Well, you don't know the answer for me, but I'm asking you. Who okay. is your Jobe Bellingham? Who is the most famous footballer out there that you've never seen before? I suspect if people play like a lot of FIFA or play a lot yes. of Football Manager, there'll be names that pop up frequently. I have weaned myself off both of those almost life-threatening addictions there over the past couple of years. So I don't actually, I'm not really au fait with who's the best ultimate team player.
Does that not make it worse? Because then you've no idea if you've seen them live or not. Like, you could have it in your head that, oh, I know him, he's got an 85, no wait, I've only seen him play in my FIFA team because I bought him because he was on the cheat. Like, you conflate it with a load of different things. It's almost harder.
God, yeah, the FIFA, if I was still playing FIFA, I feel like I'd answer this question. If you're still playing Ultimate Team, like, I, you know, there was like, you know, lads from Team of the Week, you know, that you pick up when you have in your team that like never did anything again. There are 75 and you have your 86 card that you're playing with. But I can't think of anyone offhand. You did give us a slight heads up on this, and I kind of took it two ways. Mm-hmm. There was not necessarily the most famous, but like the person that you had so many opinions, that the most opinions on without ever seeing play. And for me, that was, it kind of feeds into the whole kind of transfer saga element of a summer where your team is chasing someone and Fabrizio Romano is all over it and all of the Fabrizio Romanoites are all over it. And suddenly you're in this discourse on social media about this player that you know absolutely nothing about. And you're getting gradually more and more obsessed as the summer goes on. And there was one year where, I don't know if it was in the Gerrard era for Villa, it might have been... might have even been a little bit before, but they were trying to sign Milo Rashica, who was the Kosovan player, who was from Werder Bremen, who was like, you know, the last piece in the puzzle for Villa. And it was all year and it just wouldn't go up that extra couple of million. And I was obsessed with him. And every day I'm searching his name on Twitter. And then he signs for Norwich in the end and does absolutely nothing. And, you know, he's a middling old championship level player in the end. But my God, that summer, did I think he was going to be the difference between...
You'd have done anything for
success
that
success and failure. Absolutely, yeah. And then the other one I was looking at on the other end of the scale is someone that I couldn't think of someone that I definitively haven't seen play, but someone that I know most about without really having really seen it with my own eyes or having a real strong opinion on it would be probably someone along the lines of like Victor Osimhen from his time at Napoli.
Good shout.
Where... Like, he is talked about an awful lot. He's talked about in transfers an awful lot. He'd be a FIFA guy, you know, and obviously was amazing, seemingly, for Napoli for the last few years. But I don't know if but I have seen Napoli play. I've seen Champions League games. But you're in here maybe most of the time you're working. I don't know if I've sat down and watched 90 minutes of someone of him and actually have a strong opinion on how he plays.
I think that probably infected a lot of the conversation this summer around like the best number nines that are coming to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Ekitike or Gyökeres or Šeško, who's your pick? And then people speak with authority.
All three of them would have fit this category up until... this August.
Pretty much.
Šeško's right up there, like not just in a club scene but from an international point of view, the bangers he'd score for Slovenia that you'd only catch on like your Twitter timeline.
Yeah.
Go, God, this guy's a great player, I must watch him week in week out and then never get around to it. I think Patrick Schick is probably someone up there for me as a player that I've never actually seen live but regularly signed for my FIFA team.
What was it? You obviously weren't watching when he scored from the halfway line against Scotland, wasn't it? At the COVID Euros. That was Patrick Schick, wasn't it?
Oh, well, I probably
that must have been, yeah.
So. Oh, I do. I actually, yeah.
Do you want to hear my cop out of an answer that I've dressed up as really interesting trivia? Have you ever heard of a guy called Carlos Kaiser?
Oh, this is a documentary made about the Brazilian guy.
So are you familiar with this story? No. So this guy basically signed during his heyday, if you want to call it that, during the 70s, 80s and 90s, signed for the likes of Flamengo, Fluminense, Vasco da Gama, Flamengo again, Bangu. Played basically, I think it totals around 14 clubs. If you look on his Wikipedia page, it's just zeros all the way down. He never made an appearance for any of them, despite his reputation preceding him and everybody constantly signing this guy who was apparently really good in training, but he would always, in the first session of a training, pick up an injury that would keep him out for a number of months. There was a guy, he signed for Bangu, I think in 1985, and they had this owner who was tied with organized crime. So it was, you know, not the guy you want to cross. And this guy, Kaiser, had been partying well into the wee hours of the night of the morning and got a call from his coach saying, look, our striker's out. We need you tomorrow for this huge league game. We're suffering here. So he's on the bench and they're 2-0 down in this game. And the manager says, right, we're going to get Kaiser on here and let's see what he can do. This famed, reputed player that we've heard so much about. Let's see what he can actually do. Now, Kaiser's screwed here because if he doesn't play, this lunatic of an owner is going to probably not be too happy. If he does play, this lunatic of an owner is probably not going to be too happy. So in the warm-up, he contrives that he heard a homophobic slur come from the member of the crowd and punched said member in the crowd and ends up getting sent off before he can be subbed on. So he had this... brilliant, like Don Quixote-esque way of just finding his way out of scrapes. But he would be my answer as the greatest player we've never seen.
Yeah, I mean, he had it in the locker. We just never got the best of Kaiser. Check out that documentary. I remember we did a piece on the show on it a few years ago. A few more options, I presume, out there. A text in here that says, I think there's a few Liverpool fans who've never seen Isak play before tonight.
Hey.
From an unnamed Manchester United fan, I suspect. Oh, it's 7-9-180.
There are other football teams, though.
Yeah, there are.
Absolutely. As a Leeds fan, Patrick Bamford would have been nice to see.
No United or Liverpool fans in this room right now, despite the fact that many people tend to think we're one or the other.
I know. Mad, really. Mm-hmm. Our number, as I say, 0879-180-180. You can send us messages on WhatsApp throughout the show. We're live till 10 o'clock tonight, keeping you up to speed on everything that happens in the Champions League. And that is where you're going to start this evening, Cameron, with the news round.
Yes, indeed, Owen. Liverpool facing familiar foes as they open their Champions League account for the season this evening. Atletico Madrid, the visitors to Anfield tonight. As you mentioned, Alexander Isak starting up front, his full debut for the Reds. Manager Arne Slot was asked what kind of step up his side will need to make from their Premier League encounters from over the last couple of weeks?
When I was at Feyenoord in the Eredivisie, you knew when you went from a Sunday to a Wednesday, you had to make two steps up, unless you played Ajax or PSV in the weekend. But if you play Premier League, it is either the same quality you face or a little step up. So yes, it's again a very difficult one because Atletico Madrid has done so well in La Liga over so many years with Diego Simeone. They were even able to win the league twice. When you face Real Madrid and Barcelona, and they've been twice in the final of the Champions League. So this again is a team that is a difficult one to play against because of the mentality, because of their team performance, because of their individual quality. The last time I faced them, I still wake up sometimes, and that's not true, but at night thinking about Griezmann, how good he was in that game. So the good thing now is that in my team I have players that can do similar things than Griezmann can do. And although I loved my players at Feyenoord a lot as well, but at that moment of time, in their moment of their career, they were not able to compete with Griezmann on that night.
Way to undermine your story by admitting it's not true halfway through.
Midway through it, and then continuing with the joke.
Arne Slot's starting 11 tonight is Alisson and Gola, back four of Frimpong, Konate, Van Dijk and Robertson, Gravenberch, Wirtz and Szoboszlai in midfield, and Salah, Isak and Gakpo up front. I do wonder now, is that a starting 11 that now needs to play its way out of the team? Obviously, Kirk has seemed to have that left-back position down. Robertson is the man he's gone with at this point. He seems to be in the ascendancy form-wise. Isak up front is obviously the big news there, but it's such a strong bench. The only real, you know, first-team injuries that Liverpool have at this point seems to be Curtis Jones, but you've got McAllister on the bench, you've obviously got Ekitike on the bench, you've got Kirkes, as I've mentioned, Bradley, Endo on the bench as well. So Liverpool in a very, very strong position before that Atletico match tonight. The Atletico team is all black and gold. It's Galan, Longley, Lenormand and Llorente as their back four. It's Giuliano Simeone on the right, Barrios and Conor Gallagher in midfield. Nico Gonzalez is in midfield as well, and then Griezmann and Raspadori up front. So 8 o'clock kickoff there. Owen has been in touch to say, I only saw Danielson in those World Cup 1998 Nike ads and thought Real Betis got a great deal. I was still very naive and far less cynical. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
It's, and you know what? I couldn't believe it when I saw that text, because the whole time Cameron was talking that story, I was thinking about how excited I was about Danielson at the 98 World Cup. And it might have been from that ad. I also read an article, which, you know, like at 13, 14, I probably wasn't reading all that many kind of like long reads about football, but there was like Betis had signed him just before the World Cup for a world record transfer. And I'm like, how are one Real Betis, you know, making world record transfers? And two, why are they signing unnamed Brazilians? This guy must be amazing. And he came off the bench in the three group games. And like, I think he came on, like, they were beating Morocco 3-0. He came on for the last 3 minutes and it was like total champagne football. And he was just lollipop, 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 lollipop. Go, this is the greatest player I've ever seen in my life. You know, when you're like 13 and you're just like absolutely infatuated with an exciting player. Meanwhile, Ronaldo is like, you know, playing 5 yards away from actually being the best player that I've ever seen at the time. Then, like, I mean, Danielson, absolute nothing career. Like, injuries, absolutely, but genuinely was just like all show.
I was going to say, like, the lack of...
Oh, for a coat, I know, you know.
Yeah, the lack of a YouTube compilation didn't help him there. But then again, the YouTube compilation doesn't exactly... It's not got a full-on hit rate. There are a few players that have been victims of the YouTube compilation where they can perform all these amazing skills, and then when it comes to the meeting, drink of us.
Well, he was always into, like, he was in that World Cup squad in 2002, right?
Was it? Was he around that long? I don't know. I gave up on him pretty quickly after 98.
He was definitely at Arsenal in the mid-noughties.
No, there's a different Danielson.
Oh, different Danielson. Yeah. Oh, apologies.
Yeah. This is the OG Danielson. We had such high hopes Danielsons.
Please illuminate
for the second one. You have more news on other Champions League fixtures tonight, Cameron.
Yeah, Conference League winners Chelsea are in action away to Bayern Munich this evening. Now, despite their lack of Champions League experience, boss Enzo Maresco believes they're back to where they belong.
We are very happy to be in this competition. 1 year ago, we were playing Conference League playoff. So we are happy to be here. Winning the Conference League and the Club World Cup help in different aspects. And then in terms of experience, I think all of us, when we start something, we are lack of experience. We have to start.
Are we automatically on board once again with this new Champions League format? I think this studio was very pro format 24 hours ago. I think all you need is one game like Juventus versus Dortmund a week, and all of a sudden it kind of justifies its existence.
But someone made the point...
Maybe more than one.
Well, someone made the point the other day about... I can't remember where I saw it, but like... One thing that kind of maybe puts you off initially when it came through, and maybe it's still this weird testing period where is there enough jeopardy in the league phase so far? And like, remember this time last year, Real Madrid lost to Lille, and it proved hugely consequential in terms of their path out. Like, they were the defending champions, and didn't they go out in the league phase? Am I right in thinking that, or did they have a playoff?
Madrid?
No, they got through,
but they were in the punishment round or whatever, and then they went out like soon after.
That was like their second or third
game. They drew City, didn't they? So,
City beat them, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
In the second round, yeah, the last 16.
No, sorry, it was Arsenal who beat Real Madrid, Declan Rice with his free kicks.
Oh, my goodness. But
Madrid and City drew each other, I'm saying.
And then, So there is a bit of that. Like, I think, obviously, Paris Saint-Germain is the big reason why a lot of people think that the format is faintly ridiculous, which I kind of accept, but at the same time, greater chance of great football games is kind of what I'm looking at.
But like, exactly. you see all these teams, I think sometimes there's a sort of weird bias around, Karabakh in the Champions League and Paphos and all these, like Kairat Almaty, who are they? Like, does this not bring the bar lower and let a load of teams who probably shouldn't have been in the Champions League or wouldn't have made it 5 years ago are suddenly in the top tier of European competition? Like, when you think the other side of it is when you think back to Karabakh beating Shelburne and they beat Benfica last night, and has been such a devastating defeat to Benfica that they appear to be hitting the Jose Mourinho glass and trying to bring him in. Like, I think it does add a huge level of jeopardy. You think back to Sheriff Tiraspol beating Real Madrid a couple of years ago, and I think I'm
a big
fan of
these. It's not jeopardy, though. Like, the potential for those results are there, which I think is brilliant. I think, ultimately, I was probably the least high on it in this studio last night, but I think the point is we could probably worry about it too much, and there's no perfect system because of the inequalities in, you know, one or two leagues over the rest of the big five, and then the big five over everybody else in terms of the football. So there's no real way of doing it that's any better. So what we can take from this format is just having exciting football, you know, and exciting matchups week after week after week. And then come January, we'll have an extra knockout round and everything will be great.
But
so it's fine in the meantime.
Like, I like a format where the seeds are planted very early on and it gets to the final round of league phase games or the kind of playoff round and the last 16, where, you know, there's a load at stake, and there's I don't want to keep using the word jeopardy, but there are really, really high stakes where you're not just saying, okay, this will be fine and I'll watch the games, but I don't really care until the quarterfinals.
We have a couple of minutes left. Cameron, do you want to run us through the rest of today's headlines?
Yes, indeed. Athlone Town bidding to overturn a 3-0 deficit in their Europa Cup tie this evening. The reigning women's Premier Division champions welcome Glasgow City to Lizzie Wallen for the second leg of their qualifying first round clash. That kicks off in the next few minutes, in fact, at 7:30 at Lizzie Wallen. Jose Mourinho, as I said, in talks to take over at Benfica. The Portuguese club sacked Bruno Lage following their Champions League defeat to Karabakh last night. Leinster head coach Leo Cullen, moving on to rugby, has confirmed that Caelan Dorris will remain as club captain for the upcoming season. The 27-year-old took the armband ahead of last season, taking over from the co-captaining duo of Gary Ringrose and James Ryan. Dorris currently still recovering from a shoulder injury picked up in their semi-final defeat to Northampton Saints in the Champions Cup back in May. Cullen has advised that he will be out for the first few months of the new season.
We're probably a bit too tight to play the Stacey Flood clip, but give us the gist of what she was saying this morning.
She was talking about apparently she's watched this game back 5 times now at this stage, which is incredible. You'd think that'd be a form of torture, but yeah. They obviously want to get back up and on the ground running. But she was also really good on just the effect, and we've talked about it throughout the tournament, of the support and the amount of buy-in. She was talking today about being stopped on the street by people who would admittedly say they'd never watch rugby, but they'd completely gotten behind this team. And that's something you can't lose. And it's something that I think on the macro scale, the IRFU have to keep an eye on in terms of keeping this team together. I know you were talking to Anna Capeless on Monday about the potential splintering of the backroom team for Ireland with Gareth Steenson. We're not sure where he's going to go, and Alex Codling going off to Munster, and what Scott Beaman's future is today. There was a really good piece in the Telegraph about where Scotland and Australia, who've had good tournaments and good run-ups, it basically feels like they're going to have to start from scratch because so many players are retiring and leaving and head coaches are going off. So it's just one to bear in mind that we need to keep an eye on how well Ireland do in keeping this current crop together.
Okay, that is our news round for Wednesday night. We're going to have more on that story with Sene Nopu before 9 o'clock tonight. Next up, we're going to be speaking to Aidan Walsh, where it's going to be reflecting on the life of Ricky Hatton again after 8 o'clock. Just one last text. Paul in Wicklow says, definitely Jean-Marc Bosman, huge influence on football, but never saw him play, which is a really, really good shout.
I don't think anybody ever did, really. Yeah. He was like the second division in Belgium, wasn't he?
I mean, I'm sure they had a couple of fans. That's
I suppose, yeah, nobody in this part of the world. Danielson played for Brazil 61 times between 96 and 2003.
OG Danielson.
Yeah, so perhaps like you know, I obviously gave up on him because he was all, you know, lollipops and nothing else, but maybe I probably then went the other way and underestimated him after realising he wasn't the greatest footballer of all time.
He's just Miroslav Klose, basically, in a Brazilian shirt.
Well, he only scored 8 goals as opposed to 407 Miroslav scored.
0879 180 180 is our number on WhatsApp. As I say, Aidan Walsh up next. Before that, time for the cash machine.
The news round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.